Welcome to Entrepreneur Clinic with me, Monique Chambers, and every week I'll be interviewing a special guest talking about how to set up a business or how to launch a new product in the local market. You're listening to Entrepreneur Clinic on Campus FM with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, JP Barté from Go Beyond. We're discussing how to finance your idea. So, how do you finance your idea?
Well, there are many ways you can finance your idea. Primarily, you start with your own money, usually, or that of what you call the three Fs, which are friends, fools, and family. The people you should be able to convince before anybody else. If you can't convince them, then they're very unlikely you're going to convince anybody else.
But isn't that a risky strategy to involve your friends and family to give you money with potentially? Is there a risk to break down relations in case your idea doesn't work?
Oh, definitely.
So what are the alternatives then?
Fair enough. But usually you start there. You start small. You're not going to go out and ask for big sums of money from them.
No.
Unless you've got a very rich uncle who's ready to help. Mm-hmm. What you do after that is you start looking for seed funds in the forms of awards, prizes, EU funding, incubators that provide free services. So you start to build up your financing through that form of flow.
Okay, so a seed fund is literally the money you need to germinate, to start.
Definitely.
Okay, and so what types of funding? So the seed funding?
No, the seed funding encompasses everything that will take you, let's say, through the first stages of your startup. So you've got self-funding, which is your money or your friends.
Bootstrapping, I think, is another terminology.
Bootstrapping is more making sure you work on the leanest costs possible, so you actually don't need as much funding as one would normally have in living a more lavish life.
So that's instant coffee in a jar instead of Nespresso capsules.
Yeah, without the water, if possible.
Okay.
Then you've got awards, which are given, like you have here at we had here at Takeoff. Mm-hmm. We had the Seed Fund Award together with MCA as well.
Okay.
There's the money given by the government through Takeoff as well. It was the TOFSA, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's another award. So you apply with your project and you get shortlisted, etc.
And what's important to keep in mind is that every startup is the best thing to do is to have a financing strategy. So you're thinking not just about what you need now, but eventually what you might need in the future.
Right.
So you're not going to go to a bank at the beginning because the bank is going to look at you and say, you've got nothing that I can hold on to should you fail, so the bank's going to come later.
Okay. So how far in advance is that? 2 years, three years?
It depends. It could be 2 years. Could be 4 years. Depends on your business. Depends on your plan. It depends on how quick you get to generating revenue.
And in this plan, just as a sort of a side note, you must put in a salary for yourself, otherwise they won't take you seriously, or you have to show there's some way that you're actually being able to fund yourself to show that your business.
Again, it depends. When you're at the very early stages, so if you're looking at the first maybe one and a half years, it isn't uncommon that you have people running on no salary at all, especially the CEO or the person with the idea.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Obviously, most costs will come in where you need to start paying more resources like developers, designers, engineers, whatever, who actually have to get work done for you. But in your case, as the entrepreneur, as the person with the idea, the likelihood is you're going to be on no to little salary, as little as possible, just to make it happen.
I think that happens in most businesses on a daily basis, in fact, not just startups. So again, so after you've got the bootstrapping, your friends and family, what else comes in these awards?
After the awards, so again, you've got awards, you've got funding coming through free services. For example, there's an audit firm, so I'm sure I can't mention names. There's an audit firm here in Water that provides free services as part of funding.
I see, okay, yes.
Okay, so you're not getting money there, but you can apply for specific services that you may need up to a certain amount. So it's coming more in kind rather than
these are like the
money.
Million euro fund, the million dollar fund, exactly. Those things that come out, okay.
After that, you then start looking at the real investors coming in who to start participating in your funding, in your fundraising. And here's where you see business angels coming in, like us.
And so a business angel is?
A business angel is typically a person, there are many different variants of business angels, but the typical description is a person who has a substantial amount of money, enough to allocate a portion to high risk, because obviously startups are high risk.
Yes.
But who's not just looking at it as an investment, as a passive investment, who's looking at it as an active investment to get involved to a certain level to help mentor the startup. So usually it's successful entrepreneurs who've been there, done that, sold their companies, now have a lot of money, want to be back in the game, but not back in the game as building their own company again.
So they being like a friendly uncle almost, but with funds.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. So they lend expertise, they lend know-how, they lend experience besides the money.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're looking for the eventual exit in the form of the company being sold at a later stage. So whatever money they put in, they can get out with returns.
With some profits. Okay. And so business angels, is that where it stops, or is there
no.
more?
No. Business angels come alongside venture capital, which are the bigger institutional investors.
So they are similar thing? Venture capital is like a bunch of business angels, or is it a...
It could be a bunch of business angels. It could be institutions. It could be, when you say a bunch of business angels, it could be, for example, a startup fund, or which is a fund set up specifically to invest in startups,
okay.
Where here you're talking of bigger volumes. So a business angel would typically invest anywhere from 25K to 100,000 per investment,
mm-hmm.
to start. A venture capital is looking in the range of $500,000 up.
And obviously then their cut is anticipated to be higher?
No, the cut is, they're still going to be looking for the same returns. So they're looking for the same potential of return as a business angel would.
Okay.
What they do is the way they go about managing their investment, which is completely different. The business angel is more of an individual level. It's more personal.
Hands-on. Like, yes. So they have more involvement.
The venture capitalists will come in hands-on, usually when things are going south.
So when they can see you actually need some help, then they step in to protect their investment.
Exactly.
Okay. So do we have business angels and venture capitalists here in Malta?
Yes, we have. Most of, let me take that backwards. The venture capitalists, actually, there are here in Malta, but mostly they're set up to benefit from the fiscal advantages of being set up in Malta.
Okay.
Like I said, venture capitalists are usually looking for big investment tickets to put in. Malta doesn't offer that
deal flow just yet.
Business angels here in Malta, again, it's a very green area for investments here in Malta. Green not in as environmental green as in still early stages. It's actually a kind of a startup area in itself. There are a number of people here in Malta that get it. They understand it. They know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, business angels here in Malta, as in Maltese business angels investing in Maltese startups, it's still very early.
And that's something that there's an education process around, that you're trying to encourage more people, because obviously there's quite a lot of wealth in Malta and a lot of successful businesses that perhaps could invest in spin-outs or young startups that could continue the future success of the Maltese economy.
Yeah, definitely that's one of the ways, if not the primary way, we think Malta needs to go forward, which is in terms of education. And here we're talking not education of entrepreneurs, it's actually the education for investors to learn the ins and outs of creating a portfolio of startups, which, although high risk, taken the right way, could turn into an asset class.
So is that something that you at Go Beyond are helping to do in the community?
We are helping not only here locally, but also internationally. It's actually one of the main things that makes Go Beyond stand out amongst its peers, amongst its competition, is that actually Go Beyond was originally built upon training.
I see.
One of the main features about Go Beyond is that we actually do provide the training to help business angels become better business angels, to help people who would like to become business angels actually train and learn how to become business angels, and for more well-versed business angels to become experts.
I see. So to sort of take a step back from the training, when you're a startup and you want to apply for funding, obviously you need the sums of money required, and you would know which type of funder to go for, type of funds to go after. What do they need to have ready with, you know, ready to be able to apply for certain funds or to approach?
Okay, now that depends obviously at which stage you're applying for funding. So if you're at the early stages, you're going to need much less than you need at the later stages when you're talking to institutional investors like venture capitalists, etc., because the due diligence they're going to make is obviously much heavier, much deeper than if you're trying to convince your uncle to do to do the investment with you or your friends. So again, depends where you are. You're going to be definitely well prepared. If you're talking to business angels, for example, business angels want to see cross-border potential. They want to make sure that they're looking at a business that can grow exponentially, because that's what they're after, because of the high risk, the nature of the business, the high risk. And they definitely want to see that you've got the right team in place and the person who is dedicated towards making it happen.
And so what are some sort of things you should definitely do before applying for funding, and what are some things you should definitely not do?
Okay. Definitely do is make sure you understand the audience that you are pitching to.
Okay, so targeting.
Yeah, targeting the right people, studying your audience. It's if you're going in to apply to a government grant, you don't want to go in lightheartedly as if you're pitching to your friends. On the other hand, if you're going to your friends, you don't want to go in so heavy-handed as if you're pitching to a venture capital fund. So you definitely need to have a clear picture of what your idea is about, nothing lengthy. You need to have a concise presentation of your numbers. Again, no big business plan in the beginning. It's pointless spending thousands of euros on a big business plan when you're just seeking to raise 10 to 20,000 euros.
Is that something like a page per year or something like that? Or?
No, you just need to have a good summary. And more than, I mean, we've invested in opportunities where we've had just one page saying it all. We've had half a page saying it all. But at the end of the day, the numbers that are on screen could then be explained and substantiated with the proper discussion. Because if you take us, for example, we give an entrepreneur not more than 10 minutes to present everything from A to Z
of
their idea.
Their introduction, their idea, their plan going forward,
everything.
Their financing requirements, the whole thing.
Yes, and that's why you need to be really concise. You need to be really on the ball with your figures. You need to be on the ball with what you want the money for. So that's definitely a thing you have to be prepared. You have to know exactly what you're spending your money for. It's not just saying, look, I'm seeking to raise 50,000. And when you're asked about, okay, what are you going to use it for? I might use it for this, or I might use it for marketing. Giving a very clear explanation of how much you want, why you want it, how you plan to use it, by when, and is actually showing that you know your business.
And putting in accurate sums.
Well, they don't have to be accurate. Rounded figures are what they are. I mean, it's pointless putting a 5-year projection on a presentation if you're still in the very early stages, because
things will move and change, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are the definite no-nos?
Well, first and foremost, never ask for more than you need. Never ask for less than you need.
Ah, okay.
So you need to make sure you get the right balance. You need to make sure you're asking exactly what you want. And so that's definite. You definitely need to make sure your presentation is clear. Your presentation comes along as confident, not cocky. Nobody likes a cocky presenter. On the other hand, nobody likes a timid presenter, that to the extent that he can't get or she can't get the message through.
What happens if you might be the founder and you might be a borderline genius, but actually getting up and standing and presenting to somebody and asking for money might be the thing you just can't do? What would happen in that scenario?
In that case, you need to make sure you have the right partner with you who can do that.
Right.
So you see, I've been there. I've actually seen presentations where the scientist made the presentation and it didn't go as well as the next time round, when instead of he stood up, he actually had the commercial person who stood up and made the presentation, and it was a complete different story.
Okay.
So again, this is why it's important to have a team. So if you don't have a team, then that's a definite no-no.
Okay. And what other no-nos are there?
You definitely need to make sure that you're, like I said earlier, are completely aware of what you're applying for, how you're applying for it, your documents that you present need to be exactly what is being asked for. Don't submit applications lightheartedly just in the hope of getting it. Chase it. Don't just apply and just leave it there. Chase it. I mean, you want to show that you're eager about about your money, and don't just say, okay, I need 50,000, and then you have no contingency plan. So what happens if you don't get that 50,000? What are you going to do? You're going to pack everything up and just... So you have to show that you're...
absolutely serious about your business and very, very well prepared.
As much as business angels or venture capitalists, for that matter, are ready to throw money at an idea, mm-hmm. they're not ready to throw money away.
I see.
So they want to know that they're giving money to the idea, and it's high risk, not because the person is high risk because he's a maverick or she hasn't done her homework right. It's because it's high risk. It's because there's the nature of the business that's high risk as a startup.
So what's the typical return an investor would be looking at? Does that depend on each individual business, or is there a baseline that...
There is a baseline and there is a pattern, and studies have shown that if you do build a portfolio, because if you don't build a portfolio, if you're investing in one or two opportunities, it's casino, you know, it's a lottery. So
if they both fail, you can get really lucky, or
they can go both completely bankrupt, which I've seen happen with some friends of mine, where they've had experience in investing, but they've only maybe done the one investment or two. Some have some will speak really badly about angel investing. Others will say it's the best thing, then they want to go and do it again. Mm. Obviously, they're expecting now the same results. Now, we'd go beyond what we say, and we've had this in our report, which we issued last year, is actually you need to build a portfolio. You need to spread it across anywhere between 8 to 12 companies.
Okay.
And more importantly, you need to keep money aside for follow-on rounds. Follow-on rounds are when your entrepreneur is going to come back and ask you for more money.
Because something is taken off, or there'll be extra staff requirements or something.
Yep. There's growth. So earlier we said you only ask for what you need.
Yes.
You don't ask for more. And the tendency is not to give too much money to an entrepreneur because they'll choke. So, if you give an entrepreneur $1 million when he only needs 200,000, he's going to see how he's going to spend the other 800,000. Mm. Usually.
Without experience.
Exactly. Or not in the right way, not on the right things. There's a growth, there's a pattern. So you need to arrive from A to B in order to get to C, D, E, F. You can't just jump. There are situations where obviously you can go fast. So a follow-on round is when you've invested in a startup, the startup's actually arrived to its milestone, or maybe it's just a bit short, or maybe we went over, and then they're going to come back and say, okay, now for the next stage we need to grow, or we're going to either grow in a different country, or because we're developing this stage of the prototype, etc., we need to productize it, we need to design. So they're coming back for more money, again with specific use, explaining exactly why they need this new amount of money, what they've done with the previous amount. So you want to be there as the growth happens.
And also I'm assuming that a good level of relationship, because it's not just about the money. You want to work with somebody from both sides of the fence, as an entrepreneur or as an investor, that somebody you can see just potential in, and also somebody that you like, somebody that you can trust to work hard.
Chemistry is key. Unless you're investing in startups through a passive fund where you have absolutely no say, it's just happening for you, the likelihood is you're going to invest in a startup where you can get on with that entrepreneur. Likewise, as an entrepreneur, it's very important that you take on investors that you can work with, because it's not just about the money. Because then relations can get very sour very quick.
Especially where money is involved.
Definitely. So with follow-on rounds, so as we're talking about portfolio, it's very important you keep money for follow-on rounds. So you keep on putting money in the companies that are growing, which are most likely to exit. And you do not put money in the companies that are not doing so well. It's a known fact that roughly 40% of the companies you invest in will fail.
40%?
40%.
Okay. But you can't pull out your funding. Once you've funded, you funded.
That's money. Unless you can find someone to buy your shares. You're buying shares into a company. So it's basically, this is not a floated company, it's not on the stock exchange. So you just need to find someone else to buy your share. And so the 40% of the companies will fail. The other 40%, another 40%, will at best give you your money back.
So you're really looking, it's again that 80-20, that
yes.
20% actually will make Definitely. You...
And the 20% will give you substantial returns to make good for the 40% you lost, plus... returns.
So it is absolutely worth being an angel investor or a venture capitalist.
Yeah, I mean, we, from our end, we're looking at a situation where if you look at all our investor community which is made up of over 300 angel investors at the moment, the average return across the community is double digit.
Okay.
Again, this is not...
So it's better than a bank.
Yes, it's not made... It's not totally realized return. It's made up of both realized return, meaning they've earned the cash back.
Taken out.
Because the company's actually exited, sold, so they got their returns back on their shares. And what we call unrealized return, which is basically the valuation of the company has gone up or gone south, one or the other. But when you do the math, the portfolios, on average, are double digit and interesting double digit. Okay, not very high, but you're looking at anywhere between 18 to 25% annualized return.
That's a much, much better return than you get traditional methods. And
definitely.
I think a little more exciting, actually.
Definitely more exciting. More fun, that's yes. For sure.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Entrepreneur Clinic on Campus FM with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, JP Barthé from Go Beyond. We're discussing how to finance your idea. So, we were talking about Go Beyond actually delivering investor training, so actually how to invest in businesses.
Yep. At Go Beyond, we have a whole training package made up of 12, 13 modules that take you through the whole experience of investing in startups. So you're looking at from developing an investment strategy in this case, because you're the investor, you're not the entrepreneur, so you need to have an investment strategy.
What would that consist of?
An investment strategy is where you are planning in advance how you're going to invest across different types of businesses. As I was explaining earlier, how you're going to build your portfolio, actually to build a portfolio. So you're not just talking about taking the one or two odd chance here and there. It's actually taking a structured and a strategic approach at investing in the companies you tend to understand something about, but at the same time spreading out in order to balance a portfolio. You would typically be looking at investing 8 to 12 companies, as we said earlier, and going on and following those companies that are successful as close to the exit as possible, having enough money to be able to put in the final rounds, because obviously that's where the money is going to be.
Actually comes in. And, and obviously being able to then invest in the next big thing that's coming up the pipeline.
Yes. Definitely.
So
from there, and then we offer training modules such as how to do a proper company valuation, because that's important.
You want so that isn't something that's already done for you when you go into you use the services of a venture capital or a...
No, so if you're the business angel and you're looking at at an opportunity, your entrepreneur is going to come to you and say, okay, I need 50,000 euros. And if you give me 50,000 euros or whatever part of that, I'm going to give you, for example, just use some figures, 10% of the company.
Right.
So that means if you're giving him 50,000 and you're taking 10% of the company, that means he's valuing the company at that stage at 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to the post-money valuation, which is basically after you've given the money. So you want to make sure that valuation makes sense. He's not just hit it off because he's put his finger up in the wind and saying, okay, my company's worth 500,000 today.
So it's not assumption. It really is factually based, and you can go through and investigate. So you train how to do that.
Yes. Obviously, the later stage the company is, the easier it is to do a company valuation, because most likely there are assets, there might be IP, there's patents and all that. So it's the later the stage, the easier it is to do a company valuation. With the earlier stage startups, it's a bit more difficult, and in fact, we do offer different methodologies of doing a company valuation in order to be able to come to a more of an average figure than anything else. Then we teach people how to look at financials properly.
Okay,
because not everybody knows how to look at financials. Just because you made money doesn't necessarily mean you're a financials person. And we also teach people how to handle exits. The exit is when the company actually does successfully sell off either to a trade competitor or as a public offering on the stock exchange of that sort. So you want to be able to, as an investor, understand the exit strategy properly. And there are the other different modules in between that that fill the whole pattern of the whole cycle, the whole journey of investing in startups.
So how do you actually do this training? Because I'm imagining these people with all this money aren't just sort of sitting on their yachts all day. Are they? How do you get them to participate?
Go Beyond operates internationally. We have a back office here in Malta, and as we said earlier, we are trying to assist with the local scenario and help it grow. But on an international scale, we deliver our training in two ways. So we've got our webinars, where we deliver our training online, where people register, they buy a membership, and then they register for that training event.
Okay.
And those are delivered basically twice a month.
Okay.
We have modules going on. And then we have two physical training events that happen twice a year, which are more intense. They are full-day training, which is picks on specific topics, plus we also look at doing portfolio analysis of that sort, which then allows investors to be more hands-on with their actual portfolios, not just fictitious.
So do you have any of those workshops actually coming up, the live events?
Yes, we do have, if I'm not mistaken, they are in quarter two and quarter four this year.
Perfect. And to find out about those events, where would we go to?
You'd go to our website, which is www.go-beyond.biz.
So go-beyond.biz.
Yes.
Okay.
Or else you can contact us here in Malta on 2340-8321.
And you're based at the same offices as Takeoff and SEBI at the University of Malta?
Yep, definitely.
That's perfect. So thank you for listening to this week's show. I've been talking to JP Barthe of Go Beyond here on Campus FM's Entrepreneurs Clinic. Next week, I'll be talking about mentors, how to use one and how to be one. You've been listening to Entrepreneur Clinic with me, Monique Chambers. The programme is aired every Wednesday on Campus FM at 9:30 a.m. and repeated on Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Join us again next week to hear more about your journey in starting up a new business or launching a new product.